new documentary, The Old Man and the World, explores the life of one of the greatest of Czech travellers, Miroslav Sigmund. The exploits of Sigmund, who's today almost 96, and his partner Jiří Hanzelka made them big stars in a period beginning in the late 1940s. The film is directed by Petr Horký, a traveller who has himself shot in around 80 countries around the world. Before we discuss the documentary, I asked Horký when his own wanderlust began.
I guess I was old about 6 years, and my father took me to some mountains, and we have been just climbing the mountains. And I decided, well, this is something that I want to do all my life, as I think most of boys of this age. And, of course, during the time of communism, it was impossible. So I was traveling Czech Republic, Hungary, I was in Eastern Germany, and in Russia, or Soviet Union at that time. And then after Velvet Revolution that we had here, I started to travel. Friends of mine started to grow up the business, and I started to grow up my traveling diaries.
That must have been good timing, because you were in your mid-teens when the revolution happened?
Yeah, I was 17, 18, so it was just the right time for me. I can say that I'm the part of the happy generation that received the revolution just in the right time for us.
Did you already have an interest in film in that time as well, or did that come later?
No, that time I was absolutely sure even that there's no opportunity for me to do any film. So when we organized with my friend Miroslav Náplava, we organized expedition to Mongolia, to Gobi Desert, and we have been looking for a director who can be a member of our crew that time just to do the film. But we didn't have too nice experience with him, and I decided, well, there's no any other option. I have to start do anything. No film, but maybe 2 minute long report for television, for some magazines and anything. And I slowly started just from 1 minute, 2 minute short materials to longer. And now it has half an hour, my last piece. So I'm afraid how long it will be after 10 years, maybe.
If I understand it right, the trip to the Gobi Desert in Mongolia was your first big international trip.
Yeah.
That must have been a big education.
It was, of course. It was. I'm thinking if I can recognize the field of knowledge where it was the most important, but it was so important for all of my personality. Yeah, personally, first experience from Central Asia, first experience of real filming. I'm sure that every trip moves a person a little bit. So when it's first, and even in my, I can't say I was maybe 20, so it was very important, of course.
Incredibly, you filmed in something like 80 different countries. Did any of them stand out for you as being particularly memorable?
Yeah, it's Mongolia, still. I have been there 4 times, I guess. Sri Lanka.
You've also been to the North Pole, to Greenland. You skied across Greenland.
Yeah, I love polar parts of the earth. So Greenland, this is part of my heart, definitely. I love it there. And I would love to see Antarctica. I haven't been there.
What's been the most challenging trip to date?
Maybe the crossing of Greenland. It's pretty tough, pretty long, and it's not so interesting for ordinary people. Usually people don't know what it really means to cross Greenland. So, yeah, definitely this trip.
How long did it take you?
25 days, I think. Yeah, about 560 kilometers.
I presume often when you travel to these places, these far-flung places, that the people you meet haven't heard of the Czech Republic.
Well, most of them haven't. I have a beautiful story from South America when I've been maybe on Lake Titicaca, or probably it was in Peru. I was talking with local people. They've been asking, where are you from? I said, from Czech Republic. They didn't ever heard it, so where is it? In the center of Europe. Well, what language do you speak there? They asked me. I said, well, we have Czech language. I said, all right, I understand, but what is the official language you have? I said, well, the official language is Czech language. I said, impossible. How many people is living there? I said, about 10 million. You are lying. It's not possible to have just official language only for 10 million people, because, of course, the whole of South America is speaking Spanish, all Spanish and Portuguese. So for them was really unimaginable that there could be so small country where all the strange people are talking only the secret language for only 10 million of them. Yes, it happens usually.
You filmed with some of the greatest of travelers, including Thor Heyerdahl, Edmund Hillary, Reinhold Messner. Did any of them make a particular impression on you at the personal level?
Yeah, it was Thor Heyerdahl. We have been meeting about 5 years, 6 years, maybe the last 6 years of his life. We become, if I can say it, become to be something like a friend, if it's possible, as he was very much older than I was that time. But we have something in common, so there was reason to meet each other, to talk about, not only about filming, but about life, about traveling. So it was very important for me personally, and it was very important for me in my job, just to learn how to do things, how to communicate, how to prepare, how to build the workflow of the job. And I can say that still we are in contact with Jacqueline Heyerdahl, the widow of Thor Heyerdahl, and we have very nice relation. And in November we are just going to go to Tenerife to meet her, to introduce her to our small daughters, to know each other well.
You also became friends with one of the greatest of Czech travelers, Miroslav Sigmund, and now you've got a documentary about him. The English title is The Old Man and the World. How did that film come about? I met him several years ago and he seemed like a kind of private man. For example, on his visiting card, on his card, there was no phone number.
Yeah. He is private man, and this is maybe kind of his personal fortress or anything, how to preserve his personal space. Because even if he's 95, almost 96 years old now, he's still very famous. He's not a typical star to being on the front pages of newspapers, but almost everybody in our country knows him. And almost everybody, what is more important, wants to talk with him, because he is a very interesting person. His charisma is very strong. As you met him personally, I think you can say that it's right.
Of course.
And it really is very interesting to meet him and to talk with him. So he is living in Zlín, quite away from Prague, and he is living in a little bit his own world. So that's why he's keeping it safe and quite preserved. We become friends about 20 years ago, and I've had the idea about the film, about him, about his life, maybe 6 years ago when I started to ask him. And every time when I asked him, he said, well, I think there's no time for this. Let's talk about something different. And at the time, well, Mr. Sigmund, what about to make a film about your life? And again, well, you know, I have too many things to do with my personal archive, so maybe we can postpone it and we will talk about it later. And suddenly, about 3 years ago, he told me, well, I've been thinking about it properly, and I decided, well, Peter, you can start film. And if we will do a film, we will work on a film about my life, let's do it properly. So he offered me his personal diaries for all his life. He's writing his personal diary almost 75 years maybe. So it was material. I think this is the dream for every documentarist, just to receive material like this charismatic person and his own whole life diaries.
Considering that you've known him for so many years, was there anything surprising that you learned about him in the filmmaking process?
Of course. You know, I'm sure that, for example, you have close friends, but it doesn't happen too often to talk just about their life or about your life. So when we started to work on the film, we started to talk about special periods of his life. It was something like a journey in a time. We went back not only through his personal history, but through the history of Czech Republic and almost through the history of the world, that the last 100 years.
Well, he, given that he's almost 96 years old, he experienced many key moments in modern Czech history.
That's right. He experienced invasion in 1968. Well, he met all of our presidents. Only two of them didn't have the happiness to meet Mr. Sigmund. It was Hácha and Husák. That he personally met, for example, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, the founder of our country, who can say it now. It was difficult for me at the beginning to decide the way how to build the story of the film. Should I focus on official history? Should I focus on his traveling history? Should I focus on his personal history? It was difficult at the beginning to decide.
You mentioned 1968, and I know after 68, he and his traveling companion, Hanzelka, weren't allowed to travel anymore. But previous to that, what had his relationship been with the government, with the authorities? he was a communist, or he was a member of the Communist Party?
Yeah, yeah, he was. It's a good question. Well, Mr. Zygmunt and Mr. Hanzelka, when they have been on their second big expedition, it was 5.5 years long trip through the Asia and through the Soviet Union back, they decided to become or to ask to be members of the Communist Party in Japan on field of Czech embassy in Tokyo. So it's quite bizarre. These are quite bizarre circumstances for asking to be a member of Czech Communist Party. It helped them when they have been traveling through the Soviet Union as being communists to have a little bit better relation with the locals there, because they have been traveling in many parts of Siberia, for example, where have never been any foreigner before. So the people have been really asking her, "Как вы попали здесь? How can you appear here? How is possible that you are here, that you can just move here with your cars?" So it helped them very much. And what is important to say, Mr. Hanzelka and Mr. Zygmunt, when they did anything, as is my experience, they did it properly. So when they decided, well, we will be parts of Communist Party, they decided to start to work on development on our country, to be active. So when they went back to Czech Republic, they started to cooperate on opening communism, on building the communism of a human face, as have been named at that time. And in 1968, when the invasion of Warsawian Pact armies in our country appeared, it was very difficult for them because of bad situation for the country, but I think that it was some kind of personal crisis of them, because they had to decide if it was that they helped to build the position for the enemy armies, or if they helped to build something really bad, and what to do with it then.
And today, how does Miroslav Zygmunt view his activities at that time?
Because we have been talking about it and we filmed it, this is in a film, he felt it as a hard mistake. But, well, once you do anything, you cannot undo this, you cannot change this. So the only thing to do is to try to work on make it better, or somehow undo the bad consequences you helped to start to be. So he said, well, we have been old and we have been clever enough to not suicide ourselves. We decided just to work against the bad things that have been happening in our country that time.